Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Running again. Well, after he did not move on making sure that we dealt with vaccinating the American public, we ended up losing over a million people dead. A million people. A million.
Welcome back to the Tobler Show. Thanks for being here. We're trying to get in touch. Do we have our guest on the line?
No, the gremlins are messing with our phone right now, so I'm having some trouble calling
in. All right. Well, we were going to talk about freedom and enduring freedom and how to restore this country. And I would be interested in your opinions. How in the world are we to restore freedom, restore liberty, restore a sense of common purpose in this country? I think that that's the challenge ahead of us. 314-912-1019, the number, trying to figure out how do we bring it back to a center-right country, which is where we've been until the left, the woke left, the progressive left, got a hold of the educational system, created the delusional CRT, DEI, how far do I need to go? All kinds of acronyms that have infiltrated our educational system, our very culture from the ground floor up. I don't know how we're going to try to restore things, but it's high time that we try to do that. Now, I heard a report earlier this morning on a podcast that we're given numbers that paint a picture of everything glowing. Everything's looking beautiful. I think all administrations do that. I don't remember one that hasn't tried to put a positive spin on whatever number is out there. But by the same token, we have to then filter it. It's our job to filter it, to bring it into some kind of a focus and to meaningful existence for you and decision-making for you. One of the things that continues to trouble me is I think the deceitful way that the jobs numbers have been portrayed. You hear about 2.7 million new jobs since Joe Biden took office. And it turns out that that's maybe a little bit of a different flavor than you might think. Because in fact, those new jobs are largely part-time jobs. And now it turns out there may have been a net loss of American citizen jobs, or Native American jobs, shall we say. Now, of those who aren't Native Americans, do we know how many are illegals and how many are legals? I don't know. Well, that's just one of the things that we want to talk with our guest, excuse me, Daniel Boltz, who's an entrepreneur and author, founder of the Statue of Enduring Freedom Project, and author of America's Freedom Megaphone. How you doing, Daniel? Thanks for joining me.
Randy, and a good morning. Glad to be with you and your listeners.
So first of all, I want to get into the book a little bit, but I want to talk about your Enduring Freedom Project. Tell us about the genesis of that, what it is, and what your goal is for it.
Well, Randy, I've been involved probably for over a decade in dealing with different monument projects around the country, helping to design them, helping to establish them, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result of that, and a result of my background, I'm a third-generation Army veteran, I'm all about supporting and defending America's freedom stance, our individual freedoms and liberties, And because of that, in 2017, I came up with this idea to build a companion monument to the Statue of Liberty called the Statue of Enduring Freedom. And I believe, directly to answer your question, this idea has been, it's been on my mind for a long time. Many, many years. I, like millions of other Americans and yourself, are frustrated by the way that America seems to be fraying at the edges, meaning our individual rights and freedoms seem to be being absorbed by liberal, socialist-minded individuals and organizations in our country, and particularly in our school system. And it's because of that and my interest in monuments that this idea was hatched.
What would the realization of this monument be? Where would it be? How is it going to be funded? What does it look like? Or is that a work in progress?
Well, like I say, we've been involved in this since 2017, but only recently, since the publication of my book a few months ago, have we started to introduce this concept to the general population in our country. So, we start where we are and we go from there. To your question about what the design looks like itself, of course, on our website, I'll mention that, freedomalliancellc.com. Again, freedomalliancellc.com. You can see the designs and the pictures and the clay maquette of the monument as it's being constructed in our sculptor's studio in Chicago. You can see images of it there. And of course, there are images of it in my book as well. But specifically, the Statue of Enduring Freedoms is meant to be a complement to the Statue of Liberty. And we call this statue Brother Freedom in respect out of Lady Liberty's nickname, Lady Liberty. Brother Freedom will stand the same height, 305 feet above ground. And the design is classic realism, just the same design that Lady Liberty is. And Brother Freedom, of course, is a male figure. And there are elements on the design that are mentioned in our website that talk specifically about the history of freedom and the documents that our country was founded on.
Okay. We're talking with Daniel Bolse, who is the author of America's Freedom Megaphone and the founder of the Freedom Alliance Project. Now, let's talk a little bit about freedom. I'm sure it's no news to you. You probably have it ingrained in your mind, the things that the founders said about the Constitution and about our freedom-loving foundations. But that without a moral and religious people, as John Adams said, that the Constitution was made for that, and without them, we will fall. Others echoed that at the time of the founding. It seems as though if you zoom out, Daniel, America has been told with the progressive educational system, and I'm asking you as both an author and a educator, our schools have taught for so long, you can do whatever you want to do, follow your dream, do whatever you want to do, follow your moral compass, whatever feels good to you is the right way to go. There's no true north. Your true north is the right true north. What is the fundamental problem with America's cultural decay now, and what's required to get this ship turned around so that freedom is limited with moral constraints?
Well, Randy, everything that you've just mentioned really hits the nail on the head as to the purpose of the Statue of Enduring Freedom, and it's all about our future-focused educational outreach program. You see, this monument, unlike all the others that have been built, has a future-focused mission. In other words, we will have an educational outreach program that will emanate from the visitor center, and also we will be advocating and promoting it on our website and through school assemblies around the country. Let me say it this way to your question. Our country's solution to our societal, political, and economic mess is to reboot America's educational system. We know that something's wrong in America. Our freedoms have not been adequately studied in public education for the last 60 years. the very definitions of America's once common vocabulary, such as freedom, democracy, equality of opportunity, individual responsibility, and a balance of power. All these terms have been hijacked and politicized in a way that creates ideologues rather than critical thinking citizens. And this loss of knowledge and critical thought is testing the limits of our republic today. And we believe, as I mentioned, that education is at the heart of all of our problems today. And if we do not do something, and I'm addressing or leading to President Reagan's famous quote that happens to be on our homepage of our website, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It needs to be fought for and protected and handed down to them from generation to generation. We believe that this has not happened for way too many years, for too many decades. And as such, our students today, hence our citizens, do not have a firm, clear understanding of the factual, democratic, and patriotic foundings of our country. They don't even understand the term American exceptionalism as it was originally advanced and what it actually means. That's what we're doing. We're building this monument. Think of it as it's a loud megaphone. I mean, we use that term in connection with Dinesh D'Souza's last book, and a challenge that he gave to all of us to pick up our individual megaphones. And so the monument will become a symbol, a megaphone, if you will, that all freedom-loving Americans will be able to collectively and figuratively yell through that America stands firm in our individual freedoms, and we will not bend a knee to soft tyranny or socialism as it is being incorporated into our society today.
Daniel, across the state in Kansas City, the state Lincoln Day celebration is going on this weekend. There are various Lincoln Days celebrations and commemorations, which, of course, feature, you know, the politicians, the people running for office, this very important election cycle. For listeners, what would you recommend for the one or two questions that are pivotal priority questions for our listeners to be asking up and down the political scale, from school boards to presidential candidates? What are the one, two, or three questions that every listener should expect an answer from various candidates at all levels as we head into this election cycle?
Well, one of comes to mind is the issue of the big government coalition. Are you an advocate of big government telling individuals how to live their lives? Or are you an advocate of individuals being able to make those decisions for themselves? I mean, it's the quote from Abraham Lincoln, under God, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. If that's what these politicians are advocating, then give us examples of what you're proposing. Otherwise, it becomes, which is what a lot of politicians are proposing today, it's just the opposite of what Lincoln said, and that would be a government of the government, by the government, and for the government. And so, ask them where they stand and what they intend to do about those issues of supporting individual freedom and squashing socialism.
I would suggest a related question, I'm curious about your thoughts on this, is to try to somehow ask our politicians, what kind of humility do they bring to leadership? Do they think that they know, through their very influential and powerful positions, that they can determine what's good for me? Or do they think that their job is to provide public safety, a sound monetary system, and a justice system to enforce contracts and defend us from foreign enemies, and not much else? And I'd like to ask them that question.
Well, and that question stems to or goes back to the founding document discussion that we had in the Federalist Papers. Ask the politicians, do you believe in federalism or not? And federalism simply identifies limited and specific charges for the federal government, and the rest of the authority goes to the state governments. And that's it. The other thing on politicians today, I'm a strong advocate of the constitutional convention, whereby Mark Levin and several others are advocating this convention, whereby term limits need to be set on politicians. We did that for the executive branch after FDR was running for his fourth term and realized that was getting out of control. And so now the executive president is limited to two terms. That same limitation needs to be imposed upon Congress, because, and you can ask them this as well, and the politicians, do you believe that a politician is a career path in our country today? Or do you believe that, like the founding fathers said, that our politicians should be statesmen? They should go and donate their term, a few years to serving their country or their state, and then return to their home, to their profession, to their families, and live out the rest of their lives. Unfortunately, well, ask them that question, because there are many politicians today. The Speaker of the House, several issues ago, Bonner was his name. Anyway, he said that his career path going to college was to become a politician forever. And that is simply that's a perversion of the way that our country was founded. Being a politician today, particularly at the federal level, is not supposed to be a career path, period. It is not supposed to be. They should go in, do their job, and then come home. So asking them that question, are you going to come home after a few terms, or are you going to stay there for the rest of your life?
Great words and sage advice in your book, Freedom Megaphone. And you can learn more about Daniel's work for the Enduring Freedom Statue Project, freedomalliancellc.com. My guest this segment, Daniel Boltz, entrepreneur, author, teacher, and founder of that project. We thank you so much, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Randy, and to the good people of St. Louis. God bless.
God bless you, too. All right. Well, some optimistic words there as a roadmap for a return to some sensibility and constitutional founding principles. Well, they're trying to take away some of your constitutional rights, specifically Second Amendment. They've already done it in Illinois to some degree. We'll talk with that. We'll talk about the aftermath of the Kansas City shooting and what it means for gun rights and that ongoing fight with Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America when we come back on the Tobler Show.
There's a hole in this country where it's hard used to be.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer, on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
As we continue to fight for your freedom, especially after renewed calls of take your guns away, both in Illinois and now in Missouri and all across the country, we have great hopes that Gun Owners of America and organizations like them will continue to fight the good fight. Joining us now from Gun Owners of America, Luis Valdez. How you doing, Luis? Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the air.
So, of course, the stretchers hadn't been cleaned from the blood on them in Kansas City, on Wednesday afternoon, before the cries for gun control. Joe Biden, everyone out there immediately crying. It was embarrassing and it was gratuitous. Your thoughts?
Well, as is standard with them, they will dance on the graves and in the blood of anyone that they see useful to promote their horrible political agenda, and that is disarming the law-abiding public. And as we saw, sadly, in Kansas City, and I say this as a former law enforcement officer, because I recall the chief of police did their press conference and said they had over 800 law enforcement officers on scene to provide security, and they thought they had more than enough, and then you still had two thugs commit a crime against each other, and the general public was the victim of all this. And it just proves one of three things. One, when seconds count, police are minutes to an hour away. Two, self-defense is your own personal prerogative and responsibility. You cannot expect the government to keep you safe, no matter how many times the government says they could do it. And three, gun control is an absolute failure because the suspects involved in this, let me guess. They had a criminal record. They, you know, they bypassed every law in the books because this is a shocking revelation. Criminals are criminals because they break the law. Gun control laws only hurt the law-abiding.
Luis, I have to ask you, these two, you used the right words. They're thugs that that apparently, allegedly committed this shooting. They're now, I guess, in the juvenile justice system and under arrest or under detention. You know, you have to ask yourself, I know one of the missions of Gun Owners of America and other pro-gun organizations at all levels is education, proper firearms education, because without proper and responsible use of weapons, of firearms, of course, the credibility of the argument is eroded. I think we'd all agree that. What I mean, clearly guns are in these communities in the hands of young people that are involved in gangs and drugs and single parent homes where moms or dads are, you know, are out working and not taking stock of their children. I mean, there's a lot of societal problems. What can be done to instill in these kids that the first thing you don't do when you have a dispute with someone is pull out a gun? is there any hope that we could have education in urban areas to explain to young people that guns have a proper use, self-defense, hunting, target shooting, but not for hurting other people? I mean, I know that sounds silly and simplistic, but is there a lane there?
Well, you brought up an excellent point. This is a societal problem. This isn't a gun problem. This isn't a law problem. This is a societal problem. And the biggest problem is that there is a revolving door criminal justice system. You have across the country prosecutors, state attorney's offices, district attorneys, whatever they go by their title in their jurisdictions, where they let hardened criminals out on the streets with slaps on the wrist, no bond or very little bond, and they're constantly given plea deals. And the other side of that is that as a society, we need to look hard at the family structures. And that's part of it is you have, look, not everyone could grow up in, you know, a traditional well-to-do upper middle class household with two parents and a white picket fence and all that. I understand. But look, you have divorce homes, you have single family homes, you have working class homes. But as a society, we need to invest more in resources to promote and grow good citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This is a problem with the American right. They don't want to spend taxpayer dollars on social services. They don't want to spend taxpayer dollars on programs that would benefit society as a whole. And I'm not talking about welfare. I'm not talking about, you know, hey, you know, if you don't work, you get money. No, I'm talking about investing in social programs. You know, back in the day, you had community rec centers, you had clubs, you had all of these programs, you had outdoor care programs, you had all these. Where is all that? As a society, yeah. We have become very insular. We have become very isolated to where the children that are being raised today, they're basically left to fend for themselves. And I say this as a late Gen X or early millennial. Look, I was a latchkey kid. I remember my parents working all day and I was left home to fend for myself. But the difference was, is back then there was still a tangible societal connection. Yeah. You know, yeah. Not everything was digital. Not everything was where people were self, what's the word I'm looking here? Where they were self-indoctrinated in hate and violence. There was still a community aspect to this. And I think that's one of the problems we have.
You make a good point. And, you know, the new American Family Survey came out and said that there are alarmingly high rates of despondency, depression and anxiety, loneliness, hopelessness among, guess what, young people. A lot of that has to do with, I think, the isolation that social media brings. COVID certainly didn't help that with failed government policies that took kids away from their peers in school. But, you know, you're so spot on. I mean, the government and the big government anti 2 and 4A amendment types think that somehow by taking guns away from law abiding citizens and not realizing that they're going to remain in the hands of people who shouldn't have them, whether they're young people that don't know any better or young people in transition who have nefarious means, that's not going to solve the problem. I mean, it's a larger cultural issue. Now, I saw where you sent a letter, the Gun Owners of America sent a letter to House Republicans to counteract some infringements on the Second and Fourth Amendment rights on gunowners.org. I saw that just came out this week. What kind of infringements are actively working through? And I guess any appeal to our listeners to make sure and tell our delegation in here in Missouri, our delegation to D.C., exactly the things to have in their crosshairs to be shooting down, if you will.
Well, one of the biggest threats right now is that the Biden administration, since Congress is an absolute mess in that regard, and sometimes that's a blessing when Congress is a mess, they can't pass legislation, so that's always a good thing. But what the Biden administration has done is they've sidestepped the legislative process, and through a government edict of presidential executive orders, the Biden administration is having ATF reclassify what constitutes a private seller or a commercial seller. So, you know, look, I'm a collector. I know a lot of your listeners are collectors. They buy, they trade, they upgrade their collection. They get bored with something. They want to sell off half their collection because maybe they want to take a vacation, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But one of the things the Biden administration wants to do is go after and reclassify an individual selling their firearm collection and basically saying, nope, you are taking part in commerce, you're doing this for profit, you have to have a federal firearms license, we're going to fine and arrest you because of that, because you're conducting business without a license. That's one of the things. The other things, of course, is he's ordering ATF to basically push universal background checks that mandates any and all firearms sales have to go through a licensed FFL dealer and a background check be conducted. And as we know, as we have seen across the country, when you turn a right into a privilege, you have issues. Because what the background check system does is if the system crashes, if it's slow rolled, if there's an issue where an individual is falsely accused because his biographical information is similar to someone else, you know, those rights are turned into a privilege. And Martin Luther King said it best, a right delayed is a right denied. And mm-hmm. even here in Florida, where I am, we see this issue because here we have mandatory waiting periods and we have background checks through our stores. And it's done on the state level. And the state slow rolls it. You'll have an individual that might have the same or similar name as a murder suspect in New York City, but the guy has never been in New York, any of that. But they make you prove your innocence to go purchase a firearm. And that is the dangers that we have coming from the Biden administration, along with a whole bunch more. Whoa. But we are fighting this tooth and nail. We are taking this across the country, whether it's on local, state, or federal level. We fight gun control, and we will not abide by it.
Before we wrap, I don't know if you saw this Illinois assault ban that took place. And if you're not, if you, they'll grandfather your so-called assault weapon, your AR-15 style weapon. But if you didn't register it with the government as of January 1st of this year, you are a criminal, apparently. You're out of compliance. I don't know whether it's a civil or criminal matter, but gun owners who own guns on the list may keep them under the new law, but must register them with the Illinois State Police by January 1st, 2024. Anyone who fails to register their guns could be charged with a Class 2 felony. That's a criminal offense. How many people listening to my voice here from St. Louis over in the Illinois side are in danger of being felons? God forbid if they find out they're listening to a conservative talk show.
Well, that we're fighting that. We are, of course, looking at all legal options to challenge this in the courts. And the danger with that is even worse, is those who do comply, they can't pass it down to their heirs. So just think of that. In a generation's time span, the state of Illinois is basically going to eradicate gun ownership. And that's the threat. A lot of gun owners think of this in the short term. But gun control advocates, they think of this in the long term. If they could change the generational mindset of incoming generations, then gun control culturally is wiped out. And one of the greatest threats to that is that future generations don't grow up around guns. If future generations don't grow up owning guns, then it will be swept away. It will be destroyed. And GOA, we think in the long term, and it was said best, I plant the seed for a tree knowing I will never be able to sit under its shade and enjoy its fruit, but I do this for future generations. And that's what GOA is looking at. We're thinking of this in both the short term and the long term, because if you have that generational attack, and gun owners in Illinois, in California, in New York, in Washington State, in Hawaii, in all of these draconian places where they go after your rights, if they're driven underground and the children cannot grow up in a free society where, you know, hey, they either go on the back 40 and they go plinking, they go hunting. If they live in an urban environment, they go to the indoor range, you know, whatever it is. If they don't get exposed to it at an early age, most of them never will gravitate towards gun ownership and understanding what the Second Amendment is all about and how the Second Amendment gives the First Amendment teeth, the Fourth Amendment teeth, the Fifth Amendment teeth, and it slowly erodes our civil liberties as a whole.
Yep, it's a steep and slippery slope when we let them get the nose under the tent. Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org, we thank you. I'll remind folks that Ron Paul at the top of your webpage here says, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Powerful statement from a powerful public official. Hey, thanks very, very much for being with us. We look forward to staying in touch with you as this political season rolls on and these arguments continue to try to erode our rights. You're not going to let it happen, and we're thankful for your voice. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for being a shining beacon of liberty in these dark and troubled times on the airwaves.
All right, you too, my friend. All right, there he is, Luis Valdez. And man, it's chilling stuff going on through executive orders and fiat, executive branch movements against our fundamental rights. Anyone that thinks that taking guns away from law-abiding gun owners is the right way to go is, I think, got to maybe get a mental health check. I'm not sure. 314-912-1019, the number. We'll be back and wrap it up after this. Your call's coming up.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer. On News Talk STL. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
It is so pleasurable to spend time with you on a Saturday morning. I'm thankful you're here, and I'm so thankful this station is here because I know that I have a place to listen to get real, conservative, unfiltered, and unmanaged talk. We can talk about freedom and liberty and the eroding rights that we have, and management doesn't touch us. That, my friends, is a beautiful thing. And I hope that you continue to listen and expand how much, and you listen and share it with all your friends, because this is, we're in a pivotal time in this country. Let's share Ray's thoughts with everyone. Ray's on the line now. What's up, Ray? Thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. The problem with the rise of socialism within the kids of today is in the schools. My stepkids from my previous marriage were attending a AAA-rated public high school, and they did not know simple things such as from each according to his means to each according to his needs. They thought that was in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. And when I pressed them on it, they said they're not taught the difference. But yet,
you're not kidding me, are you? You're not kidding me.
I swear to you. I am not kidding you. And
my God.
At the high school awards, they were giving out awards for social justice. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're promoting Marxist idealism or indoctrination. And when I was talking about this, their mother was like, oh, well, that's not important. I'm like, of course it's important. And these are the same teachers' unions that are saying language and mathematics is racist, but then wanting DEI for the people, for the jobs that you need mathematics, such as being a doctor or a pilot. I mean, this is a problem of, it goes to the schools. I mean, I'm teaching my kids. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you know what? And that's why in Missouri right now, there are conversations going on that, you know, our own Nick Schroer here, you know, and others in the area, Mary Elizabeth Coleman and others, everyone is on the right is trying to get more and more, as quickly as we can, education choice. But because if we don't get education choice, all is lost, Ray. You're right on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to inoculate my children from this. Every day I go, where do our rights come from? They say God. And then my follow-up question is, I go, do they come from man or government? And the correct answer is no. So if some teacher tries to indoctrinate them that it's Joe Biden and government that gives them the rights and blessings, they can stand up and say, no, they're inherent. They come from God, not from man and government.
Good for you. God bless you. And I hope that that model of parenting is spread far and wide across the Fruited Plains. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Tobler.
All right. Next up is Gene, the Dancing Machine. Got a couple minutes to spend with Gene before we close out. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, real good. Thanks. I'll try to make it fast here. Two things. On these juvenile crimes, I think that across the board, it needs to be rethought about particular severe crimes, that these kids need to be charged with adult charges, put in detention homes until they're old enough to transfer to jail, and never get their records expunged for stuff like this. Years ago, kids didn't do stuff like that. Petty shoplifting, et cetera. Yeah, get that off the record. This stuff, nope, keep it on.
Yeah, but you know, when they petty shoplifted, I mean, I don't know. This is both a parenting thing and a system thing, Gene. But I know one time, I'll never forget it. I walked out just innocently. I didn't mean to, but I walked out of a Five and Dime store. Remember when they had the open, you know, you could get the little wax bottle. It looked like a Coke bottle. You drink the stuff, you know, and all that.
Little bubble gum.
And we were in the Five and Dime store, and I walked out, and I had something in my hand. And my mom said, Randy, we're going right back, and you're telling the and I mean, man, that left an impact on me. I didn't willfully do it. But, you know, I think parenting needs to change. Expectations at schools need to change. Early accountability, maybe not, you know, terrible, you know, jail time for doing something like that. Maybe so. I don't know. Maybe the second time you do it, you see some jail time. But it's got to start earlier, doesn't it, Jane?
It does. I agree. And I did similar stupid thing when I was a kid. And then secondly, I know we're kind of short on time here. Your query about what we can do to try to get the tide turned, if you will. I think if we came up with real good marketing plan, market conservatism, constitutionalism, love for country, like you would a product, get people together that are of the right mind and market this thing, social media, make it cool, et cetera, that might start. It's got to start kind of from bottom up, I guess, you know, get putting on my old salesman's hat, if you will.
No, I mean, we need to restore the fact that while the so-called good kids in school, we're always a little bit from the kids that were maybe a little more rambunctious and precocious.
Sure.
There was a little bit of, but there was the acknowledgement that there was a good kid, that there were kids that were doing the right things, and at some level they were respected, and teachers and administrators held them up as examples. Now it's like, oh my God, those are privileged children. Those are kids of the systemically racist society. We need social justice. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we're tearing down the good to elevate the bad, and we're ending up with a very mediocre, if not worse, in the middle. Gene, thank you much. I appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
Have a good week.
Got to run.
You too.
All right. Well, our friend Stel Ponticus from the Mike Ferguson Show reminds me that Trump sent federal assets to violent cities across America after the Operation Legend in June 2020. I'd forgotten about that in Kansas City. Remember that? After the shooting of that four-year-old, I forgot about that. And Fed assets were sent in. What happened to that? Biden ended it, Stell reminds us. Well, you'll hear more with Stell and Mike and Gabe on their show come Monday morning. Stay tuned for On the Money. Thanks for being with me this weekend. All hope is not lost because you still have a vote and a voice. See you next time.